You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today. Well, good morning. This is Wednesday Live, and guess what? It's on a Wednesday. Tell you what, I'm amazing how those things happen. Anyway, I'm David Frank. We're filling in as best as I can do for our wonderful manager, Jonathan McLean, who is out of town getting some rest. He and his family just needed to do that, and so I'm kind of filling in here. But we have a great program today, so do not wander off from the radio unless you're in your car, in which case it'd be tough to do that anyway. First of all, it's customary to introduce any staff that have me hanging around in the studio. And so, Karen Hubbard, good to see you.
Hey, Dave. Good morning.
Good morning. It's always great to... We have a great team here. We keep talking about it, but that's because it's true.
It is true. You know? And it's the ideal work situation with the best people.
Absolutely. And this is an anointed, you know, you can't be in a better place with God with an anointed ministry. And really, God pulled the team together. So I'm excited about that. And Sherry, of course, out in the lobby, who's the hardest worker maybe of all, because she's running. They call her the Flash because she's always on the move. You can't see her when she's moving. She's so fast. And she's always doing stuff, and we're very much appreciative of her gifts being invested here too. Before we introduce our first guest for the day, we'd have a prayer request. Jose had called in and asked us to pray for his marriage and for Melissa, his wife. A divorce may be imminent, and he just feels in his heart that he would like God to move and to bring healing, and that so he's asked us to lift that up, and we want to do that right now. Because Father God, we just lift Jose and Melissa up to you right now, and we lift them up to you as individuals, and then again as man and wife, because in the marriage they become one, by your grace, Father, that unity is continuously blessed and often restored, and especially today we come before you and seek your Holy Spirit's movement in their lives right now. It's a front line move, Lord, of your Spirit, because divorce may be imminent, and we pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to bring, first of all, peace in the midst of conflict, truth in the midst of lies, and a strong desire directly from your throne room for both to be able to come together and to speak your truth to each other. We pray also, Lord, if it be your will, to involve a third party in this, someone who can be unbiased, someone especially who is also full of the Spirit, and that in these ways, Father, to pour out so much grace that there is restoration for Jose and Melissa. And but beyond this, Father, we just trust you and your will and your heart, the Father's heart, to be expressed in the midst of this marriage. And we come before you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Speaking of fathers, and we have today Seamus Gordon with us. Seamus, welcome to the program.
Oh, man, thank you. Thank you so much.
This is great. He for those of you, the name sounds familiar because Seamus does have a program with us, Dad Up, and it's, I don't know exactly, we have a name for the, it's kind of a 3 minute or 2 minute, they play randomly, and but I've heard them throughout the day, so you know, it's, I think God's in charge of random myself. but Seamus's heart is for the fatherhood, for men who are fathers, and to support and encourage that. And I'm not going to say much more because you have a more eloquent way of speaking about this calling on your life. And I would appreciate it if you would share that heart with us. But then we also want to find out about a new program that you're going to be doing here at WCNO. So yes. Seamus, welcome, and share your heart, brother.
Thank you so much. Again, always nice to be here with this team. I'm a dad. Whatever other titles I might have, pastor, reverend, what of you, I am a dad. Mm-hmm. And that is an honor that I cannot forget. I can retire from everything else, but not from being a dad. And for someone who grew up in a very large family, if we have time, I'll talk about that another time. 12 children my mother and father had. That should have been illegal. They had one less appearance. But, and I was the last of the 12. But when I started working, my first job ever after leaving school was to be a teacher's assistant in a school. Mm. The very school I graduated from wasn't easy because I knew all the other kids. Mm. And after leaving that job and going to college to be a trained teacher, I continued to work in the system where most of the kids with whom I worked, the so-called troubled kids, there was a trend. They didn't have a father figure. Right. And when I left teaching and went into social work, that same trend was evident. Mm-hmm. The kids who were at the juvenile detention centers, the kids who were getting into trouble, there was a common thread. Dad was absent. So having identified the problem, I decided with God's help to be part of the solution. Mm-hmm. And with a number of friends and supporters, we started the Father-Child Connection. The Father-Child Connection is a nonprofit organization with a twofold mission. Mm-hmm. To empower fathers and father figures to establish, reestablish, or strengthen the connection between themselves and their children. Mm. And then there's a second part. To reach boys and young men, today's sons, to prepare them to be tomorrow's fathers and father figures. Wow. Because even if we do a great job with fathers now, if we don't work with young men who will become fathers, then we're simply waiting for the problem to come to us.
Amen. Amen. And God really gave you a good vision of the problem. And this is familial. It's also systemic. And whether a father is physically absent from a household, by that I mean they don't live there anymore, and there's a lot of households that are father-free, father-less, if you will. We also have fathers that they live at the house, but they are very much dedicated to their vocation, if you will, their work, so much so that their family gets short shrift. And I imagine that both of those dynamics you find in the families you're working with.
I'm glad you pointed out that, because very often when we talk about father absence, we think of the dad who is not there.
Right.
But we have situations where their dad's present, having good jobs too, high-paying jobs. But while they provide their children presents, gifts, they don't provide their presence.
Right. Yes.
And we miss those. We miss those dads. We see them pull up in the parking lot of the school, good cars, nice cars, the kids drop. And you think, oh, he might not need fathering education or support. But sometimes it's there, or actually not there, the support, because he's providing the gifts, the presence, but not his presence. And that, too, has an impact on a child, very much so.
It would seem to me that... I ask you to respond to this because I've talked to many men over my years as a pastor, and the one consistency I found, because they didn't come to me because things were going well. You know, they came to me because their issues, and especially fathers with young children, and most of them professionals, and they were very dedicated, which you want a dedicated professional. But and when I probed into their, you know, describe to me your commitment to your family, it was always, I'm working 80, 90 hours a week so I can provide material goods for them, because that was what they understood is what their family needed. But in truth, families from their fathers, the material goods are nice, by the way, they help. But that's not the primary need, is it? What do children need from their fathers?
You know, that is a very interesting scenario where dads are constantly being told that you need to provide for your family. Mm-hmm. But very often that can be misunderstood, because we can go to the one end of the spectrum where we are providing the material things, but we are not there.
Right.
And provision for the family is not just bringing in the bacon, but being there by providing their presence, their advice, their love, their affection. I tell you, my dad was an amazing provider. That's one thing I will never forget about him. But I can tell you the honest truth. Well, all truth should be honest. I've never had one hug from him. Yeah. I've never heard him say to me, I love you.
Yeah.
And if he did when I was sleeping, that doesn't count.
Doesn't count. No.
But he was a good provider. I didn't lack anything, especially being the last one.
Yeah.
But that was not what I really needed. And so this program that we hope to kick off on August 1st is to help be there for fathers and father figures. It's called the Dad Up program. And we are going to be talking, well, first of all, let me tell you what it's not.
Yes, please.
It is not a lecture. It won't be me coming on here lecturing dads about what they should do or shouldn't do. It's not a put-down program, how dads are deadbeat, but rather it will be talking to and talking with fathers and father figures. And we'll have many co-hosts. I have some wonderful guys out there ready to come, and sponsors. And you just mentioned the prayer request that we had. We will be addressing certain segments of the community. Number one, divorced dads of divorced children, or dads of divorced families, incarcerated dads.
That's another good point.
Incarcerated dads. I meet dads in our local prisons who yearn for what you and I have on the outside, the opportunity to connect with their children. And the research proves that after they have been in for 3 or more years, the contact with their regular family dwindles.
Yes, it does.
And I would say to them, well, write. And they say, well, the letters come back, or I don't know where to send it. I say, keep writing. If in 10 years' time, 15 years' time, you meet that son, you meet that daughter, and he says to you, you have never thought about me, and you can pull out every letter, every birthday card, and say, I did, and show them those letters that returned no such number, no such address, whatever it is, but it came back, it will do wonders. It won't necessarily eliminate all the pain, but it will certainly make that young man or young lady know that while dad was away, he was thinking about them. So the incarcerated dads. So in addition to the divorced dads, you have the incarcerated dads. You have the stay-at-home dad. Not many of them are around, but they do exist. We want to talk to and to talk with those dads, dads of blended family. And that's happening more and more now in our society. I'm talking to and with dads who have daughters, and I head that list. My favorite movie, by the way, is Father of the Bride. You've got to watch it.
I remember that.
You have got to watch it. And father of sons, single dads. Single dad, first-time dads. So we're going to be talking to a lot of different dads with our host and co-host and special guest, live as well as recorded. And so Dad Up will be an opportunity to listen to and speak with dads, because after all, they are the subject experts on the ground.
Amen. Amen. When we first talked, Seamus, and this was back before you, when you came in to explore the program idea with us, and I was already on board with that because I know that so many, our culture, those, I'm trying to figure out how to say this without offending too many people, but, oh, well, I'll just say it. Our culture is not heavily driven by God values. And so when we, in the family, in the context of families, now there's some that obviously follow the Lord. They get into the Word of God. They're praying. A man and wife gets married, and they plan children. They have children, and they've devoted their lives to God, so they're going to be listening. How do we do this? But there are many people that when they had their children, they were not talking to God. They were not seeking His guidance. They were probably unchurched, you know, and there's a consistency in our culture today about that. But it clearly, when you present this vision of the Father, it's a godly vision. It comes right out of the Word of God and God's heart for fatherhood.
It was His idea.
It was His idea. But so in your ministry, I guess I'm trying to figure out how to ask you this question, because you deal with a lot of people. I mean, individuals and groups. I know you go to churches and you speak about this.
Yes.
What do you get in response from the those to whom you speak, especially those that are still kind of, if you say, locked in the world?
First of all, there's no such thing as an illegitimate child. Amen. There might be illegitimate parents,
yeah,
but never a child. So every child is a valuable gift, whether they were planned or unplanned.
Amen.
Secondly, I want to acknowledge the value and the power that moms have. In fact, we have a program called Mom Sense. This is when we speak to the moms about allowing the fathers of the children to have full access to the children, regardless of whether or not they are together. Because very often moms are gatekeepers.
Yes.
So rather than having a dichotomy of whether it's mom or dad, the argument should be mom and dad.
Right.
I'm right-handed, but I certainly won't give you my left hand for free or anything else because I need both.
Yes.
So it's to help fathers to acknowledge and to realize their value. The absence of a dad in a child's life is devastating. And also to help mom understand the value of a dad in the life of a child. But let me tell you something else that I get excited about. It's also helping businesses to understand the value of fathers. And how do we do that? For example, we are trying out something here. We're trying out a movement in our local community where we talk to local businesses and we say, the dads who work for you in your company, would you consider allowing them 1 hour a month to go to a SAC meeting at your school or PTA? Because very often when these important meetings are being held, it's 2:30 after school or 3, just in time when teachers have been worked a long day, and I know that, my wife is a teacher, they're ready to go home after. But dads most time can't get there. So one employer that we have spoken to, and I'll mention their name very soon because they are co-sponsors of this program, and we'll talk about that and how you can be part of this. He agreed that part of the 40 hours for the week, he would give the dads 1 hour and still include it as paid so that dad can show up at his child's school, be part of SAC, be part of PTA or something like that. Oh. So fatherhood cannot be just something left to an agency such as the Father-Child Connection or anything like that. It has to be a community movement. And starting from the ground up, we can't always wait for Washington to pass laws to say dads should do this. And it's working with local communities and churches and businesses to get movement. So to answer your question in a very roundabout way, is that it takes everybody. It is true that it takes a village in order for a movement such as a fatherhood movement to move forward.
I want to get back to your program for just a minute, and you know, minutes fly by in this. It's amazing, an hour. You know, you think an hour, my gosh, but it just goes. But I wanted to. You'd mentioned that listeners can get involved, and I'm curious to know what you mean by that.
There are three ways. One of three ways. Hopefully, they can do all three. First of all, please continue to listen. Mm-hmm. And pass the word on. So to help listeners and supporters remember how they can become involved, there are three ways. We ask for their prayers.
Amen.
We ask that they will pray for programs like this and stations like this that share the good news about a Heavenly Father who loves dads, even those who have messed up and have fallen short. And so we ask that they will pray that the word goes out to everyone within the listening audience of this station, possibly 7 million, I understand.
Well, but it's made a little more closer to 8 now.
Oh, wow.
Census, potential listeners.
Yes, yes.
We don't get nearly that many.
But not yet. So that's number one. We ask for their prayers. Secondly, we ask for their hours. If they wish to volunteer, 1 hour per week makes a difference. 1 hour per week. We have fathers and father figures who give 1 hour to read to or with a child who doesn't have a father figure. That's a program that we call Operation Daducation, but we'll probably need another time for that. That's when fathers read to and with their children. So in addition to their prayers, we ask for their hours. We also ask for their dollars. There's an old saying, I don't think it applies to radio, talk is cheap. Well, no, talking on radio is not cheap.
Depends.
Doing this program isn't
commercial
cheap.
Radio is pretty expensive.
Yeah. So we do ask for an individual or businesses or churches who wish to sponsor this program. I'll give my information at the end, how their tax-deductible contribution can make a difference to get the gospel of fatherhood out there, because our world needs dads.
Amen.
Our communities need dads. Our families need dads.
Amen. And I'm firmly believing, Seamus, that the Lord is all about raising up people to do what he wants them to do and raising up others to support them in that. We see this here for this radio station. You know, twice a year we come to our listeners and we ask for their financial help to keep us going, and as always, we never have want for anything. It doesn't always come in when we want it, but it gets there.
I know. Sometimes I'm listening, and I'm getting nervous for you guys, like, oh, no, it's coming up. Look how far behind.
I gave up being nervous about 5 years ago, but, no, it works. But I definitely, and we want, I would encourage our listeners to write down the start date, which is August the 1st.
August the 1st.
Now, you're going to be airing at 8:30 in the morning.
8:30 in the morning until 9, but the wonderful thing is that the same program, not necessarily live, but the recorded version, will be repeated that same day, 8:30 p.m.
in the evening.
That's right. And, of course, they can always go back on your website.
You should be on demand as well. Once our IT guy has put you in. And that's getting him to do that. But, so that you have several opportunities to listen again. One would be the bonus program in the evening, 12 hours after it airs at 8:30 in the morning, on demand. And on demand, you can either listen to it right there or download it and listen to it later. And I just want to encourage our listeners to make a note. Tune in starting with the 1st of August. You're going to run 5 days, weekdays,
yes.
Right? Monday through Friday.
Yes.
And so August 1st is a Friday, which, by the way, if my father were alive, it'd be his 115th birthday, August the 1st. But he's with the Lord now, so he has all eternity to deal with. But you're going to be live most of the time. Now, I think Wednesdays it'll probably be pre-recorded.
Probably so, yes.
But between those two, every weekday from 8:30 to 9, listeners are going to get a tremendous impartation.
Oh, my goodness. It promises to be... Well, first of all, it is unique. I can't think of any other program, South Florida, where it is father-friendly. So let me go back to what we talk about, what it's not.
Yes.
We're going to talk about what it is.
Amen.
It will be father-friendly and father-focused.
Yes.
Where we are talking to and talking with fathers and father figures, co-host and special guest. And we want to make sure that at the end of each day, and if it's not the end of each day, the end of each week, and if it's not the end of each week, the end of each month, and if it's not the end of each month, the end of each year, that every father who listens become a good spy. Here is what we're challenging our fathers to do. We want our fathers to be spies. So they're going to be developing spiritually, they're going to be developing physically, they're going to be developing intellectually, they're going to be developing emotionally, and they're going to be developing socially. And so all that we will do and talk about will help fathers to be better spies. So we'll have guests to talk about their physical needs, doctors and nurses who will give ideas. I will have to save it for the other hour. No one day will be the same. It will be quite a journey.
A tremendous gift of being unpacked every time you go on the air. And that, if I just may say, time, of course, is running out. We have like two minutes, something like that, before we have to go to our song in the bottom of the hour. I want to say, if listeners haven't heard Dad Up, haven't heard the program that's running now, which is about a three-minute program, is that, it's not a lecture.
No.
But I've listened to, I think, just about everything you have recorded that's been broadcast. And what it is, it's Seamus comes to you and he unwraps a gift. You know, on Christmas morning or on your birthday, whenever you get a gift and everybody's gathered around and only the giver knows what's in there, but you open it up, and in my family we had to be careful because we had to reuse the paper. But you get in the box and then you lift it up and it's something you've wanted or didn't know you needed. But you know, and this is how God has blessed Seamus in his presentation of the word that God has put on Seamus's heart. And I just can see that these 30-minute programs are going to be a wonderful expansion of that. And I encourage people to write it down and tune in and listen starting August the 1st.
August the 1st.
And then every weekday following. Tell us very quickly how people can reach you, the way you have a website, number,
yes.
And especially how they can even now donate if God put it on their heart.
So email is dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org, dadup, not manup, dadup.
Amen.
@thefatherchildconnection.org. You can also call or text 561-229-2379, so that's 561-223, I'm forgetting my own number.
It's okay.
So 561-229-2379.
Okay.
And, of course, we have a website, which is www.thefatherchildconnection.org.
And can they donate on the website?
They can.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I hate to say this, but our time is up for this segment. We will have you back. And you'll certainly, starting August the 1st, you'll be on the air with us.
Amen.
And just ask our listeners, too, to pray for all of our programmers. We have all over the nation people that come, and we have a lot of local programmers like Seamus. And just keep praying, lifting them up. Because today, as you know, bringing the Word of God into the culture doesn't come without a little bit of pushback from the devil.
Hmm.
And we pray so that those of us who serve the Lord in this capacity, yeah, we know it's happening. We feel the pushback, but we're going to push through it because the sword of the Word of God is going
to
cut right through
all
of that stuff. And he certainly, Seamus, has been and will continue to do that for you. Thank you for being with us. In 30 seconds, you got anything last you want to say before we go?
I want to encourage all the dads and father figures out there that you have an indispensable role. Amen. And even if you have never had the best father figure when you were growing up, you can flip the script.
Yes.
And be what you don't, you didn't see your father.
Amen.
Demonstrate. I also want to say to the moms out there who many times are wearing two hats, we're going to be encouraging our fathers and father figures to dad up and do what they need to do to support their children.
Amen. Thank you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. This is Cynthia West with For Such a Time as This. For I hear the Lord say, Ecclesia, to those of you who are calling out for more of me, I can no longer come to you in showers. I am longing to come to you in the fullness of my Holy Spirit, to overshadow you, to overwhelm you, to bring the miraculous to you, to bring heaven on earth to you. This is for those who don't mind being embarrassed, as my fullness in you makes you walk in tears of adoration, as my fullness in you will cause people to say, you are over the top. As you walk in the jubilance and laughter of my joy, as my fullness in you might cause people to say, that is not God. I'm looking for those who are willing to be undone, like Isaiah when he saw me seated on my throne. For those who are willing to walk in overflow, for those who are asking me for all. So, child of God, it is your individual choice to say yes to me. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word. Amen. And so, okay, now we must remember Satan and his demons have their agenda, which is to kill, steal, and destroy anything that is godly. The Bible says, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. So, despite her mistakes, America still has a covenant with Almighty God. And we watch as demonic spirits destroy the American flag, destroys anything American, whether cars or property. They shout, destroy and death to America. And that demonic spirit kills Americans, openly shooting them down. That demonic spirit steals through lies the minds of Americans. And MS Looney News never tells the truth. That demonic spirit pays professional protesters to protest everything that is ungodly. But if you would like Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, ask with me now, Holy Spirit, show me Jesus and let Jesus be seen in me. Now, Holy Spirit will do the rest. I pray God's divine protection over President Donald J. Trump and over everything pertaining to him. Because our God pulls down ungodliness and lifts up godliness. He declares, it is finished. For these are the days of Elijah.
Well, we're back, and I have to tell you a little mystery. We, in dealing with the new computer, the new software, there are several mysteries revealed throughout the days to us. And one was I had programmed a piece of music to go in during this break. And then what happened was one of our programmers, the little three-minute mini programs, I guess, we have kind of popped in under that script number. I have no idea what happened. But at any rate, I'll figure out that one later. But we are back on the air with Wednesday Live. We have with us a wonderful man of God who we have on here as much as we can because of the work he's doing for the Lord. John Nelson with Families Recover. Welcome to Wednesday Live.
Sir, how are you today?
Oh, glad to have you with us. And you're doing well. When you answer the... We all know, most of us know John has some health issues, but they don't get in the way of his serving God. He has more energy than I do, this guy.
Well, I put on a good front.
I tell you what.
You know what the secret is, David?
You what?
I've had champion mentors over the last 15, well, actually over the last 20 years. That have gone through cancers, heart problems, liver failure, lung issues, and guys, because we really, I have an accountability group and it's all men, that just, they never stopped up until, in some cases, 10 days before they died. And this is the key. I never heard them complain.
Yeah.
No matter what they were facing health-wise, they just kept going. And you know what? Because they had confidence that they were going to see Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
You know? Now, that's hard to, you know, when you're playing on a ball field like that, I have to stop myself a lot of times when I want to complain. And I try not to complain.
Right.
Because in the grand essence, in the scheme of things, you can turn on the news, in which I don't, and see just so much bad stuff going on around the world. We live in the greatest country in the world.
We do.
You know, our water consumption, my pastor had a Haitian minister here a couple of years back, and he has a pool. He goes, he came in at the end of his 2 weeks, and he looked at the pastor, and he goes, Pastor, what's troubling you? He goes, you have a pool out back that has more water than 20 families get a year in Haiti.
Wow.
You know, and when we look at things through those eyes, at least I try to teach and show through witness that we've got it pretty good.
Yes.
We do.
We do. We do. And we need to be reminded of that always. And I thank you for that. Just for those, John Nelson founded, well, he started out with, well, tell us in a brief,
Families Against Drunk Driving was first.
Yeah.
And then when the opioid thing took off with the wonderful pharmaceutical oxycodone and heroin took back off, Jennifer and I, God rest her soul, we went around and really, really asked what would a great name be that would cover the actual plight of drug and alcohol addiction. And we came up with familiesrecover.org. You know, we're going on our 13th year of the 501c3.
Wow.
You know, she's been dead 6 years, and she chose to go back, like many do.
Yeah.
Anyone that's had an addiction in their family knows that a lot of them go back, and she chose that path, and it ended up costing her life at 38 years old.
Wow.
You know, but everything has a reason, a rhyme and reason. At least that's the way I'm trying to live my life. That turned us into a human trafficking entity, which everyone knows is bigger than anyone ever thought. If you just watch the news, they just ended up rescuing 60 kids. I believe it was Pasco County. And that's through the great efforts of the Republican Party giving back the Sparrow Project money, which Biden took away. The first day he was in office, he took away the human trafficking money. The first day. And that was one of the first things that Donald Trump put back in was the Sparrow Project. And this is what we're seeing. Law enforcement, along with great people in the community, recognizing that, listen, it may not happen in your family, but my wife is trafficked. My wife. And we started a foundation that was drug, alcohol, and now human trafficking. And I don't say that lightly, but people really need to get schooled. It's happening right here in this community, and it starts out subtly. You know, and all of a sudden, you got a girl in high school, and we got Molly and heroin right in our high school. South Fork is one of the biggest hubs. Jensen Beach, I'm not picking on them because it's a national problem. People need to be aware and to be whistleblowers, because when the kids start messing with those type of drugs, fentanyl, Molly, ecstasy, blah, 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 weed, booze, it lets down their guard. And kids get snatched every day in America. You just don't hear about it.
Yeah, we need to hear more about it.
So, I mean,
it's
maybe
happening.
That's a big rant of what I should be talking about today, because fundraising is huge for us. We got the big thing coming up 12th year with the Heat. And, you know, we compete against big nonprofits here locally that do amazing work. And I have to compete in that arena of trying to raise a budget. So, you know, if you're listening and you've had a problem with drugs or alcohol, and I give my phone number on this radio station on a daily basis, please reach out. And if you got something that you want to do in memory of, you can go on our website and donate at www.familiesrecover.org. We are a debt-free 501c3. How that happens, I have no idea, because a lot of times I'm actually taking from our corporation, because we do renovations and stuff here locally. You know, God has blessed us to be able to keep the things moving. You know, we were talking last time I was on the air about, there's a wonderful listener named Carol. We've given away 5 cars now to girls that have gotten out of that trade, the adult entertainment industry. We'll just use that as a whole, you know, the sex trade. Because that's what we've actually tried to really do in the four counties. The girls end up going to a wonderful place called Oxford House. They have 115 of them, mostly remodeled houses. That nonprofit literally has housing in each house where a parent can bring a kid, which is unheard of, because other than the Salvation Army family thing, we have very little housing for families that are coming back up from an addiction problem. Mm-hmm. So the last time I was on, we were talking about Carol, and it was the two times ago I was on the radio with you and Jonathan, and he calls me up later in the day, Jonathan did, and said, I got a email from a listener. Mm-hmm. She's got a car, and she wants to make sure that someone that needs it gets it. So we ended up getting with her. I pulled up in an Uber because I didn't have to bring my plate and everything to bring the car home. I couldn't believe how beautiful this car was. And she had it serviced. She had just spent like, I don't know, $1,800 on it to give it away. Mm-hmm. See, there's a lot of people in this community that really care. And it's not just our community. You know, people don't really hear the good deeds that are going on. There's a lot of good going on. So, you know, a big shout out to Carol. Emma was on the radio there last year with us. She went through there. And what our criteria is, if the girls, and I'm focused mostly on girls. We will work with guys too, because in Jenny's memory, you know, we want these girls getting out of that trade and getting their kids back and performing. And then that's happening. But Carol made it happen for Emma, who desperately needed a car. She's gotten her license fixed. We wait till they're about a year sober, and that's what we do. You know, God, I really believe that that's going to be huge for us this year. We're looking to hook up with some brokers that do repos on cars. And, you know, if we can get 5-10 cars away, that's 5-10 families that are trying to go back forward. And it's hard without transportation.
Many things require it, you know, jobs, doctor, you know, shopping, whatever.
Well, we don't have public transportation like Broward and Orlando and West Palm Beach or Miami, where you can, and I get it because I, you know, I took the long road to growing up. You can get a bus at 5 o'clock in the morning in those areas, and they run all the way to 10 o'clock at night. So you can actually maintain a good job 20 miles from where you live.
Amen. Hey, let me
hear. That's almost impossible.
Let me jump in here just a minute, John, because I want to. I'm going to read your website and your phone number again, because wherever you are, the reception sometimes it just drops, and your voice gets. No, it's not your fault. You know, it's just a lot of factors you have no control over. But people listening and saying, I didn't quite get their website. Well, it's www.familiesrecover.org. That's www.familiesrecover.org. And John's phone number, this is his personal cell phone, always on his person, except when he's in the shower, I imagine. Unless you got one of those waterproof. And that's
they're not waterproof.
No, they're not. They make them, but they're more expensive. The number to reach John is 772-285-5828. That's 772-285-5828. And if you don't get any of this, but you want it, call the radio station. We'll give you all this information, all the contact information you need. John, let's talk a little bit. I want people to hear more about this. You mentioned it in passing, but you've got a fundraiser coming up because you take kids to the Miami Heat games, and you've got something coming up, and you need to raise some money for that. So let's talk about that for a minute.
You know, years ago, we were doing stadium events, even with the Dolphins, because if you're anything like me, I never went and did anything unless I was high, or unless I was drunk. I mean, that started at a very young age, 15. Mm. So, you know, it was put on my heart when we first started this, we would team up with these rehab centers to get these young adults and sometimes older adults to go to these events and see that they can actually enjoy a stadium event without having to be under the influence. And then a little bit down the road, it was really put on my heart to really start going after the families with kids and the fosters. And, you know, Project Lift has gone with us numerous times. We team up with a couple foster programs around the three-county area. And we've had, I think we're at about 7,000 kids in 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah. The Miami Heat, which is owned by Carnival, they don't per se donate money, but they make it possible through cheap tickets. And for years, they actually provided the bus.
Hmm.
You know, Fox had a bus that was wrapped with the team back in the day when they were winning championships. And they would actually send that bus from Miami up here to grab people. And we did that for a long time. So we've been raising funds over the years through a golf tournament, which we kind of stopped to go in the golf tournament because it wasn't giving us the revenue for the amount of time that it takes. You know, golf tournaments are 6 to 9 months to plan, and then you're really hoping to cover what it costs to put on the show and then actually make a budget for the year. So we decided last year that we're going to do more corporate fundraising around the nation and locally just to make that event the biggest ever. So this year we're shooting, we had 250 last year. We're shooting for 500, which is a whole section this year.
Wow. Well,
You know, you bring a lot of chaperones and you just go down and have a good time. We try to make enough to where the kids, one thing that Broward, the police athletic lead pointed out, there's a group of guys down there that started a foster program back in the day after Vietnam, and 80% of their kids go to college.
Wow.
They're extremely successful. But they said, you know, one thing that we're missing is the kids are in the stadium, they're on the bus, we feed them on the way up. But all these other kids in the stands have money to be able to spend. So we raised, we actually took a donor that made sure that each kid has $25 to spend in the stadium.
Wow.
Because we didn't want them feeling, listen, a foster kid already feels left out.
Yes.
And if they're not buying anything, we just wanted them to walk away from that event knowing that there's people that really do care about their future.
Yeah.
So
that's huge, just
something
really.
That really warms my heart.
So I'm sure we have some people interested now, and they'd like to know, well, how can they donate? What would you tell them?
You can go right on the website. There's PayPal, it's secure. We have a P.O. Box 691, Stewart, Florida, 34994. We've had that P.O. Box for years. They can call me. If you listen to this radio station, which I find that a whole lot of people do in five or six counties, we have been an impact partner, I think it's our fourth year, where my phone number is given out five times a day on the radio station. And if you're driving, which please don't write this down while you're driving, call the radio station. And the radio station has been huge of giving us people that have called with problems and said, hey, call this guy.
And just to say, I want to segue through this comment back to the Miami Heat game. But John, I will say to our listeners, John is hands-on. You know, when you call him, you get him, and he doesn't pass you. Well, he may have other people that work with him, people he connects with, but he's the guy you're going to talk to. It's hands-on. And God has used John. He's a very humble guy, so I have to say this for him. But God has used John to literally save the lives of many, many, many people. I don't know what the numbers are. You probably don't either, John. But
no, I don't know.
The lives of
we got Kellyanne. Kellyanne's a big part. She works with the girls.
Yep.
I really believe that women should be. You know, we may go on a rescue mission with law enforcement to get these girls, but even in the pastoral, you'll see that most pastors won't counsel females, or at least they won't counsel them alone.
Right, which is wise.
So we've really stuck with that, and that's an AA tradition. I mean, I'm a big Alcoholics Anonymous guy. I have no problem with my anonymity being shot.
Yeah.
But we got a new lady out in California, Barbara. She's our board member out there. Her daughter was trafficked in Oakland, California. She's raising two of the daughter's kids as her own. And the daughter, even though she's not being made to stay on the streets, she's chose that life.
That's sad.
You know, and it's just, you know, there's so many people out there helping. This is the secret. If you're willing to change your life, there's not a church here or around the country that I've met that ain't going to try to guide you in the right direction. There's Christian radio stations all over the country that if you were to call them, I got to believe that they would point you in the right direction. I would have to believe. And thankfully, we have WCNO. I mean, we're blessed to have an independent radio station that lets us talk about these things, and they're real issues. This isn't something that's sugarcoated. And if you're long, you've known me long enough to know I don't sugarcoat much.
No, you don't. And I'm glad of that.
I came from an Italian, I ran Italian restaurants in Detroit, 38 arrests in the prison and out of dumpsters.
Wow.
You know, and I don't say that to say, oh, wow, look at him. He's John Gotti. No, I'm John Nelson, and I was a born again Christian with a mission.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm not ashamed of my past because my past doesn't define me today. And when you're working with people that have gone to the depths that they've gone to get their drug and alcohol, or who knows what happened to them as a kid, that's the hope they need to see. They need to see that light.
Yes. Yes, and you're and one of the...
Thank God we have a radio station like this. That we should, this radio station does show the light.
It's our calling, brother. It's what God told us to do, and that's where... Even more and more these days. I know somebody's out there listening and saying, all right, they're going to want to take 500 kids to the Miami Heat. What's it going to cost Families Recover to do that? What's your budget for that?
Probably a bottom line number for the food and everything, probably $15,000.
$15,000.
You know, because buses, food, beverage, blah, blah, blah. That's the whole gamut.
What's the date? When is that going to happen?
We have not. We know it's at Christmas, but remember, the Miami Heat just finished their season. We don't get the actual schedule until August next month.
So there is a good season of fundraising here that people have on their hearts. Can.
So we'll either go the week of Christmas. We try to do it the week of Christmas or the week of New Year's because the kids are out of school, because it's a late day. I mean, there's a lot of times we don't pull back up in town until after 1 a.m. So we try to keep away from the school year.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. And if
it's all been a learning experience there, brother.
You learn by doing. You make mistakes, and you say, I don't want to do that again. Or you also learn good things happen. You want to repeat that.
You know, we have a lot of people. I used to get high and listen to Christian radio, Way FM down in Fort Lauderdale. And this is a little bit of my background. If there's someone out there listening right now and you're stuck, and maybe it's a needle or maybe it's a pipe or maybe it's a vodka, maybe it's a prescription drug, please reach out to us. There is a way out. This is the only key, a little bit of willingness, because the hope can start right after that phone call. I promise you, if anyone's listening to this today, I promise you the hope starts at the phone call.
Amen. And again, that number is 772-285-5828. And that phone rings on wherever John stores it on his body. That phone's going to ring. He's going to answer that call.
You even answer the phone late at night. I mean, we have it on vibrate late at night because everyone knows I'm on heart transplant. So even I need rest. But we return every phone call.
Yes. So there's hope. And I don't know if too many people doing what you're doing, John.
There's hope. There's hope. That's hope. There's hope. And I had hope even when I was homeless. I never lost hope. I lost my way.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if anybody out there can relate to that statement, but, you know, I get lost sober.
I
look up at this, you know, life is still going to be life no matter what. And there's consequences to our actions. But once those consequences are met, you can live a pretty fruitful life.
Amen. It's not, you know, there's always hope. This is what you said about hope. I think, as you know, I've been delivered. I say I was in recovery, but I'm a delivered alcoholic. But my particular life didn't take the same track yours did. But I was still, I was embedded in an addiction to alcohol so bad, you know, I couldn't see any way out. And at a certain point decided I wasn't going to look. But God was not going to let me go. And it was as God moved in my life and in the lives of people around me who had been caring, even though I was ignoring them, you know, the time came when through prayer and the outreach of people that loved me, I was delivered. And something I never thought would happen. And yeah, I never gave up hope, but I'd forgiven it given up on me.
Exactly. Well, he never gives up on us.
Never.
I mean, you know, I was in the Dunklin dorm. I left there almost 16 years ago before. I have nothing but love for that program. And I read that in Proverbs, and I think I shared it last time on the radio. There comes a time where God won't answer your call because you're involved in a lifestyle that he doesn't have anything to do with. See, and a lot of people, even in the jails and even in treatment centers, are like, well, God did this and God did that. Well, no, God's not a God of chaos. It's all through the Bible. Mm-hmm. And this goes for me. When I'm saying these words, I'm looking in the mirror. Yeah. He didn't have anything to do with my thievery. He didn't have anything to do with my DUI driving. It says it. I turned my back on you and I didn't hear your call. Mm-hmm. And then if you read on into the next paragraph, it talks about the redemption of him waiting for you because he loves us.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people are like shaking their fist at God, but they're not, you know, he ain't taking part in that stuff. He don't take part in child trafficking. He does not take part in a bank robbery.
Yeah.
It's clear. And we've had some things happen in our families that, you know, a bunch of people were shaking their fist. And I stop them and say, first off, God gave us free will. Mm. He gave us free will. So when you were making those things happen in your life, and you're thinking because you got away from that DUI stop, it's because that was luck. Mm-hmm. God did not get you out of a DUI. And when you try to explain that to people, they get mad. Well, you can get mad, but that's the fact.
Well, we often were anger is actually at ourselves for allowing that to happen.
And absolutely.
Because we, you know, that's, I blamed everybody but me.
I did some work with one of my sponsors on the dock today, and he's doing... I wish they all got it like you got it. And I told them, now you take this list and you delete it. And then you go home and you breathe. Because the things that you just shared with me, you don't ever have to go back to. See, that's a lot of things people don't realize. When he's forgiven you, your job is to forgive yourself. Doesn't mean you go back to that type of behavior.
Right.
And I'm guilty. Listen, God put on my heart every year that I'm sober, that anniversary date, I've picked something that I really don't want to be a part of my life anymore. This is a lifelong thing. You know, the Bible is a lifelong journey, and sobriety is a lifelong. Forgiveness is a lifelong thing. I mean, and people, I want it right now. Well, that ain't how, Google doesn't run the Bible.
No, exactly. No, God's timing.
We
can't
run
make
into
it
a
happen.
Lot of people that think it has to be today, and sometimes it's 4 years. We're 13 years old, and I'm still looking for that golden egg. I mean, I even get to a point sometimes I'm like, is this even making a difference? Mm-hmm. You know, and what is he saying? He's up there shaking his head at me.
Well, and God loves us so much. Yeah, it is his time. It's always in his time, but we have to do what we need to do when he tells us to do it. And, you know, but that means we're having a close relationship with him. Time is almost up for us, by the way, John. We've got about
it's
almost
been a good time, hasn't it? We never have enough time.
We never do, but this is why we keep bringing you back on the air.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. I mean, I don't think I'm just hoping that anybody out there listening doesn't think that this is an ego trip. And it could be. I you know, we've done great things. I'm Tarzan. That ain't the answer.
No.
You know, God's given me 8 years of life after I died on the table. You know, I don't know how much longer I got. Only he does. And that goes for all of us. My son just had a suicide trend, 22 years old, 2 weeks ago. Mm. We have no idea why he did it. We just had a young man jump off the Roosevelt Bridge 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
I don't know why. I had a friend in Detroit 3 Mondays ago, 36 years sober. He ended his life. Wow. I don't know what they were thinking. All I can hope is that the family gets some solace out of it, and that the family can see that God didn't make them do that.
John, I have to interrupt to say we're out of time, brother.
Okay.
I thank you for joining us. We will have you back. Folks, call in, get the information if you want to know more about what they're doing and want to donate. God bless you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
David, God bless you. See you guys later.
'Cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move on, things are possible.
Thanks for listening to Wednesday Live today, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. For information relating to their mission and ministry, go to tccalliance.com. Until next Wednesday, may the Lord shower